You'll open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. It's not a typo. I just made a mistake. There's only 42 verses in Luke chapter 10, not 44. But we'll start in verse 38. It says, "Now as they were on their way, Jesus entered the village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home, and she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" This coming Thursday night at midnight begins a year full of possibilities and opportunities. 12 months, 52 weeks, 365 days, 8,760 hours, 525,600 minutes, and 31,536,000 seconds. What are we going to do with all this time? You know, some of us may have already thought about some resolutions that we would like to make in the new year. For me, I quit that a long time ago because I have yet to keep one single resolution. So I'm saving the brain power for something more important. The thing is those resolutions that we make, do we intend to seriously try to keep them? And do any of these resolutions have anything to do with our relationship to God? Now, there's a story that was told about a high school principal who decided to post his teacher's New Year's resolutions on the bulletin board in hopes that it would inspire the students to make resolutions for themselves. And the teachers, they were gathered around the bulletin board and a commotion started, and one of the teachers was complaining because her resolutions were not posted. She became extremely upset and threw a tantrum. The principal, he rushed to his office quickly and to see if he overlooked her resolutions. And sure enough, he had misplaced them. And as he pulled them up, he started looking, and her first resolution shocked him. Her resolution was not to let the little things upset her in the new year. If we have made resolutions for the new year to improve ourselves this year, the key to success is to involve Christ in these resolutions. In John 15 and verse 5, Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." As long as we stay attached to that vine, we have the strength to keep our resolve. But if we detach ourselves from that vine, we have no strength whatsoever. Now we go back to Luke chapter 10. Jesus in the house of Mary and Martha. Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus and Martha is distracted by serving her guests. And as you can imagine, if it has occurred to you, sometimes that can bring about its own tensions. Why am I doing all the work and you're doing none? Martha enlists Jesus' assistance in clearing up this matter. But probably I think Martha was a little shocked because instead of telling Martha, I'll talk to her, he basically said to Martha, my own words, "Martha, chill out. Mary has chosen the best. Friends, a lot of times, it is not a choice between right and wrong, but it is a choice between good and best. Both of these women were right in their choices. But Jesus said that Mary's was best. And I believe it's within all of our hearts that we want to choose the best in this new year coming. Choosing the best means being in the right place. In verse 39 of Luke 10, it says that Mary sat at the feet of Jesus. While in verse 40, it says that Martha had work to serve. So Martha was running all over the place. In the original text, this was written in, the word that is used for sitting doesn't mean literally sitting. It means sitting very close. And Mary was as close to Jesus as she could possibly get. She was sitting at his feet. And that is the same place that you and I need to be sitting every day, at Jesus' feet. Amen. And if we have not made a resolution this year, let us at least resolve to have a closer relationship with Christ, and for us to be able to get as close as humanly possible to Him. And choosing the best also means listening to the right voice. Martha, because of her location, could only pick up bits and pieces of the conversation, but Mary, sitting right there, she heard every word. Do we hear everything that Christ is saying to us? Or do we just catch a word every now and then? In verse 39 of Luke chapter 10, Luke changes the tense of the verb to an imperfect tense, which means that while Mary was listening, it was a continual listening. Even after Jesus had stopped talking, Mary was still thinking about what he was saying. She was that focused. But what about us? When we read our Bibles, let's say we're daily Bible readers, and that's great. We need to be daily Bible readers. But how many of us read the Bible so we can look at our little chart and say, okay, well, I got these six chapters off today. I'm on track to read the whole Bible in a year. But what have we retained? Do we meditate on those things we have read? Or are we just reading to fill a square? Do we give any thought at all to what we might have heard in our Bible classes? Is it some things that stick with us that causes us to ponder, that causes us to want to do some research on our own? Do we leave our worship service and give any more consideration about what was said, what was sung, what was prayed about? Or do we check off another box? Choosing the best part means setting priorities. We can't rehearse this narrative without considering this point. Mary's priority was being close to Jesus, to listen to his teachings, to meditate on what he said, and in doing so was allowing herself or helping herself become more like him. Martha's priority was serving Jesus and the others that were in the house. There's nothing wrong with that, and I want us to understand that. The word serving that's translated here is the same word that we use to translate deacon, a servant. Martha was a servant. In Galatians 6 and verse 10, it talks about serving others. What's the difference here? In verse 40 of Luke 10, it says that Martha was distracted. The King James uses the word cumbered about much servants. But here's the catch. Sometimes we need to set aside the distractions and choose the best part. Martha was anxious and troubled by many things that was not the best. They were good. Her intentions were good. Ladies, think about this week, this past week, maybe Friday morning or Friday afternoon, and think about Thanksgiving. How much time and preparation went in to maybe a dinner time at the holidays? You get so distracted. How do you feel like it? Are you ready to sit down at the table and enjoy the meal? You've been looking at it all day. You saw that turkey naked and then burnt to a crisp. Sometimes we allow the good things to become a distraction for the best things. This year, we need to consider about making better choices by choosing the best part of life and living it to the fullest. You know, I find it very sad. If I was to go back and change anything that God would have done in the creation, I would have made man to start out about 60 years old. With 60 years of wisdom under his belt. So that you get to this age, you really start looking. I'm a little older than that. I'm just had to pick a date and time. Being able to sit back as we get older and appreciate that stuff has no meaning and value anymore. There's more to life than just that. When I was young, all I wanted was this and that. We need to set some time aside for God. We need to devote just a part of our day learning of Him, of praying, of meditating on the things that we have learned. We need to stay active in our worship services, in our Bible studies, because there is no way that we can become all that we want to become spiritually in just an hour a week, 2 hours. Friends, we're here to worship God, but we're here because we also need each other. We need to also resolve to stop an undesirable habit or sin. These are distractions that take away our time and our energy, our effort and our money. We need to just let it go sometimes. In Romans 13 and verses 11 and 12, Paul writes here, "The hour has come for you to wake up from your sleep." Friends, when I read that this week, I got just slapped across the head. Wake up from your sleep. Yeah, I fall asleep too. Salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Not a single one of us is immune from this. None of us. Jesus tells that in choosing the best part, we need to sit close to Jesus, Christ. In Philippians chapter 1, in verses 3 through 11, we're not going to go through all of them because it will end up, we'll be here at 12:30. But there's a lot of important things here, and I hope that you'll look through them. But Paul, he writes here to the church that he has been praying for them. And when we pray, we don't realize just how close we are to Christ and God. And we need to devote more of our time to this endeavor. You know, praying is not just sitting down with folded hands and mumbling some pious words. Praying is an attitude. It is a mindset. We get so rote in our prayers that we miss out on a whole conversation. We don't have to know these pious words. We can just ask God in plain English. Paul admonishes us all in 1 Thessalonians 5:17 to pray without ceasing. To always keep that prayer on the tip of our tongues. We should be praying for thanksgiving. And in verse 3 of Philippians 1, Paul says, I thank God in all my remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine for you, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Friends, our prayers need to be more than a request for something. Yes, we need to petition and ask God for things, but our prayers need to be more than that. They need to include our gratitude to God for His abundant blessings. You know, this coming week, tomorrow and Tuesday, is going to be one of those rare opportunities where Vicki and I are going to have all the grandkids in one place. And I look so forward to that. And if I would have to hawk the Christmas tree and all the gifts to have that happen, it'd be gone. Just load your truck up to the front porch, I'll just shovel it in. That's what I'm looking forward to. Paul remembers others in prayers, and if we're honest with ourselves, isn't most of our prayers about ourselves? Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, do this for me. Oh, God, do that for me. We need to pray for ourselves. Don't get me wrong. But that must not be the sole purpose of our prayers. We must pray for one another. We need to take more of ourselves out of our prayers and put more of others in it. The prayers is what strengthens each other. It truly binds us all together. If we're praying for someone else, we're not thinking about ourselves anymore. Can you imagine what would happen if each of us, each and every day, prayed daily for the others in this congregation? Imagine how much our love would overflow, how much it would flourish and blossom. But we oftentimes dismiss those things. There's a story told about Michelangelo that he was rolling this big, heavy rock up a small incline to put on his work table so that he could make a sculpture. And there was a man that was watching him for doing it. And about an hour after he was watching him get this rock up there on this pedestal, the man looked at Michelangelo and he said, Michelangelo, why do you work so hard to move that ugly rock up on that pedestal? Michelangelo looked at him and he said, because there's an angel inside waiting to get out. See, there's angels inside of all of us. I'm not talking literally some winged things, but there is something within us willing to come out, that wants to come out, that we can help come out. Something beautiful. Because that's what we typically think of angels, something beautiful, something spiritual. And our prayers can bring them out. Do you know that the most popular aquarium fish is a shark? And did you know that if you were to go out fishing and you caught a shark, just a small one, and you put him in an aquarium that you think would be an appropriate size, that shark will stay that size? And he won't grow any more than however size that aquarium is. But then if you take him out and throw him back in the ocean, eventually he's going to grow to full size. The point is if we keep ourselves in this tight little one thing, we never get our full potential. If we continue each and every day to pray for ourselves and our wants and our needs and our desires, we never get to grow out of there by praying for others. We need to turn our prayers loose on a world larger than ourselves. Our time on this earth is limited. And while we're young, time seems irrelevant. But as we grow older, we truly appreciate the time that we have, because we realize we're not getting any of it back. And I think it's sad that we have to grow old in order to appreciate the things in life. Why do we waste these opportunities? Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16, Paul tells us that to make the most of the opportunities that come our way, because the days are evil. Jesus has said that Satan is a robber and a thief. Think of all that time has been robbed from us by sin. But sin isn't the only thing that robs us of our time. Good things also make demands. Remember Martha? Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things. Only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen the better, and that's not going to be taken from her. We make the same mistake every day, don't we? We get so caught up in the here and now that we fail to deal with the eternal, the things that will last forever. Some of the things that overload us is, one is commitments. I used to joke about Vicky's calendar. There's no space to write anything in it. Each day would be filled up. You would think and wonder how anyone can do that much in a month. Thing is, you can't. We take part in this activity or this function, and soon we see ourselves coming and going. Sometimes we just need to drop some of the good things and choose the best. I think we also are overloaded with possessions. How many of us have clothes in more than one closet? How many have tools that are rusting away that you never use, guys? Are we renting a storage unit to store the stuff that we don't have room for in our house? Are we going into debt paying for all these things that we simply have to have? And if we're honest, we all do it. We all do it. None of us is immune. But we're also overloaded with information. How many of us spend so much time learning things that we really don't need to know? I find myself doing that stuff. How does this work? How does that work? And it's like, I'll never work on it, so why am I worried about what it is? When I was in the military, I would get so many emails. When they went to the computers, is the bane of the military's existence. When they went to computers, I'd get so many emails a day, I couldn't answer them all. I would literally get absolutely nothing done just answering every email I would get every day. And so I'd check them off and delete them. And when I was asked, did you get my email? No. When'd you send it? We need to let the world be the world. Let them worry about the political situation. Let them worry about the climate. Let them worry about the economy or the future. And let us focus on the best things. Let us focus on Christ so that we can learn how to be more like Him. We also need to understand what the Lord's will is. What do you think God's will is for us in this new year? You think He wants our minds to be focused on the worries and anxieties so much that we cannot have these spiritual thoughts that we should have? Or do you think He wants our calendar so full that we don't have time for the best things? How many times do we have to rearrange our calendar to fit something in from church instead of doing it the other way around? I'm going to close. Our time's almost up. I want to close with this, something for us to think about. I have no idea who wrote it, but I like it a lot. It says, I am the new year. I am an unspoiled page in your book of time. I'm your next chance at the art of living. I am your opportunity to practice what you have learned about life during the past 12 months. All that you sought and didn't find is hidden in me, waiting for you to search it, but with more determination. All the good that you tried for and didn't achieve is mine to grant when you have fewer conflicting desires. All that you dreamed but didn't dare do, all that you hoped but did not will, all the faith that you claimed but did not have, these slumber lightly, waiting to be awakened by the touch of a strong purpose. I am your opportunity to renew your allegiance to Him who said, Behold, I make all things new. Friends, if we are making any resolutions this year, for this new year to come, please, please include God in those resolutions. If you are not a child of God, we want to give you the opportunity this morning to begin a new year with a bang, something that you will never regret for the rest of your life, that hope of eternal life. Through repentance and confession and baptism, you can get that new lease on life, a new year, if you will, starting fresh, sinless, ready to go. We want to give you that opportunity. Maybe you just need our prayers. Maybe it's just to get you through the rest of the year. We still got a few days to go. Maybe you need our prayers to help you out in the new year. If there's anyone that has a need, we pray that you'll come. Together we stand and we sing.